him. Praise him.
And I will
praise him.
I will praise
him in the morning.
Praise him
in the noontime.
Somebody told me, said, if you want to do something bad enough, you'll make it happen.
Amen. Amen.
That being said, I picked an old song about, come on, y'all, you know who you are. Amen. I'll get you in trouble. Amen. It's 189 in the Only Believe. And we're just going to sing a song because, you know, I don't like songs that just noise. I like something that means something. It's something that puts you in the spirit of worship. It's kind of like getting a little tiny sermon in the middle of the day.
Amen.
So we gonna, you know what God said? He just wants somebody going to praise.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna put on my CNI glasses.
Amen.
Praise him. I'm thankful. Let me tell you this morning, I got up, and you know I'm like in the 65 plus group. Okay.
This was
hurting. That was hurting.
Amen.
I said, praise him. So I grabbed me some Jesus, some Advil, and the heating pad. And here I am. Okay, ladies.
I just want to thank God for everything he's done for me. I couldn't sit back there in that seat and sing Serve Him and not get up here and say how much I appreciate everything this Lord has done in my life.
Amen.
I just am so thankful that he's revealed himself to me.
Amen.
I'm thankful that when Pastor preaches, I can understand it.
Amen.
Because not everybody has that spirit.
That's right.
Just get in there and say amen to every word.
Every word.
And I just want to thank
him. Amen. I want to praise God real quick, too.
Get in.
You see this woman here? Thursday was 38 years.
Wow.
Best thing God ever gave me. And we have served God together.
Amen.
That has been our goal. That has been what we've done. We have served God with our lives.
Yes.
We've served God in everything we've done.
Yeah.
We've put him first.
Amen.
We have done it all. And it's all because of this word.
Oh.
It ain't a thing in us. It is just the word that's been preached to us.
Amen.
And you know, that word that's preached to you, It helps you in the natural, too. It tells you what to do. It tells you how to live. It tells you how to walk. But you know, this word is more than anything. And this morning, we were just talking to each other. We thought, what pressure is on Pastor? Because we're coming this morning and say, what is God going to tell us this morning? He has told us so many things. It says, that poor man, we're just going to pull everything out of that poor guy. Because God is talking to us. God is telling us things. We are in eternity. Satan is defeated. We are the bride. We are a special people. We are great and mighty. And there's nothing can hold us down. And it's all because of this word. That Bible is open to us. There's no secret. And you can see when you look at that Bible, it all just matches and comes together. It's like this puzzle, and all these pieces are coming together. And so long I've looked at, like James on Wednesday, I looked at that scripture and said, why were those flaming swords there? Now I know that. Now it's just so many things. Every service, he just shows me a little more and a little more. And I said, Lord, I've been here for decades. What'd you tell me in September? 45 years? 45 years. And I used to say the last year or so. Now I can say the last weeks or so. It's just real. I just praise God. I just want to thank you.
I just want to add one more thing, too. We were reading today about Joseph. And everywhere Joseph went, he was the people were blessed.
Right.
The job he was in was blessed because of who he was.
Yes.
And I thought, how much more us? And it just was good.
Everything ties together.
Amen. Before we sing, I want to thank God again. But you know, you can't praise God enough for a saved companion.
Amen.
Somebody that'll help you along the way. And I believe I have got one of the best. And the best one for me. I appreciate you, Pastor Moore. And he just tells me what to do. And I'm blessed and obedient. So we're going to be okay. Let's go.
Amen.
Go ahead. Let's sing verse. You want to sing verse one? Let's do verse one.
I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side. When our sorrows have drifted. By the smile that I wear when I meet you in the morning in the city that is built for square. I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way on the streets of that city. Where we all can be together and be happy always. While the years and ages roll, I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river. Rapture all the acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear when I meet you in the morning in the city that is built.
I just
want to thank God, too, real quick before I sit down. He's been so good to me, and I'm blessed to be able to learn this song with my sisters, and I'm just praise God for being in this body and teach me and know what I need to know to get out of here, you know, and what Amen. I needed, my job I need to do. And I just thank God. Every time I come, I get more revelation, you know, and it just, I don't know how I'm getting much more, but I know I'm in there to get more, and I just thank God for being here.
Amen. Amen.
Thankful for what the day has produced. You know, sitting there back there talking to Jim, as usual, he gets you all stirred up if you're not stirred up. And, you know, think about what our day is. You know, it's restored that fellowship. Same as in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
You know, it's not a hope and believing unto, or it's fellowship. Sweet
Amen.
Fellowship with God every
Amen.
Single day of your life. And you sit there and you're thinking, I said something a few weeks ago, you know, it could be another 100 years and it wouldn't matter to me one bit. Because the fellowship has been restored.
Yes.
The thing that, you know, I'm fully fellowship with God. And he leads me, he guides me. Every time people come up with something that, you know, like they're pushing to something, or they got to produce something, or, you know, they're coming short. You know, it's just, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, that's what fellowship produces, you know, right. when in the cool of the evening, you know, which is where we're at, evening time.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, you know, it's just a real rest.
Amen.
And a real peace and
it
a real
is.
Comfort.
Yes.
You know, come what may,
come what
from
may.
Day to day. You know,
Amen.
I was thinking about that rooster of mine. And he figured he going to sneak up on me last night. You know, and sometimes it raises up the hair on you. Like, oh, what's he doing, you know? Then you just turn around and say, oh, it's just you. You know? So then you start dancing a little bit, you know, and you teach him to fly. I kicked him over in the raspberry bushes, you know, thorns and everything. You know, I thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he was doing his dirty work. So, you know, time to give him a little kick and say, back off. You know, you don't know who you're dealing with. You're just a chicken.
That's right.
You know?
Always
and
will be.
I think about that with Satan so much, you know, that he's no threat at all.
No.
You know, Brother Bram said that Jesus took a stinger out of Calvary.
He did.
You know, he can just buzz and make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And he'll do it until, you know, his end comes. But I'm so thankful for the rest
Amen.
And the peace
it
and the
is
joy.
Rest.
And, you know, just what I have. Sometimes, you know, you just give a big sigh and say, that's right. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, bro.
Just excited to know I'm one of them.
Yes.
That I know that all of heaven, because of the silence, they can hear my voice now. All on the earth, because of the web,
That's right.
can hear my voice now.
Yes, yes.
All
yes.
below the earth can hear my voice now.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. And I was thinking about this message of how much it truly means to me. Before I got in this message, I play a lot of video games. And before I got in this message, I was playing life on hard mode. I didn't know anything. I thought I did, but I knew. Now I know how much I didn't know. Then when I first got here, they put it on easy mode. Everything was pretty easy. I knew the truth now. And I was living life. But something changed when I got the full revelation of who I am. Now yes. life is in cheat mode. Anytime something comes up, you already know you can just, I can get rid of that just by pushing this button.
Yeah. That's right.
I've got this, just push this button right here. Everything is so easy for us because we have the spoken word and we know it and we can
right.
use it.
Oh, yes.
And that all of heaven knows it. That's why there's silence. They want to hear what we have to
Amen.
Say right now.
Yes.
They're all over us right now. Every single one of our brothers and sisters are standing right here. John
yes.
is standing right here.
United.
Brother Branham is standing right here.
Amen.
Listening
yes.
to what we have to say to show that we're preaching that which they taught us
yeah.
over the years.
Right, man.
I'm justified. Thanks, Luther. Thanks for that.
Yes.
Sanctified.
Yes.
Thanks, Wesley.
Right.
The full revelation brought to us. Thank you, Brother Branham.
Thank you.
We needed you for that.
Yeah.
And we're moving your message forward. Brother Childers, we're moving what you preach
Thank
to us
yes.
forward.
Yes. Yes.
We know. And because of that, life is so Amen. Much easier. If you're having a tough time, put it into easy mode and listen to what this ministry
right,
says
right.
and apply it to your life. As soon as you apply it, that's activating that, and everything will get a whole lot easier for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Because you start, everything in this world starts
that's
growing
right.
strangely dim. Most of the stuff going on in the world, I will occasionally look a little bit onto the news just to see what's going on in the world.
Right.
I don't care. But I will look just real quick, top news stories. No, stupid. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because my life is so much easier now because I listen to this word, and I know I am a part of it.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. I just wanted to get up and thank God because, you know, it's been a little rough at our house lately. Henry hasn't been sleeping for like a month or two. You know, 3 a.m. on, he's awake. And then I got sick. And it's funny how, you know, at midnight when your baby's crying and you're not feeling well, how that desperation sets in and you just remember all of God's promises.
Amen.
And you lean on them. And you know, you step out and you're like, God, you got to do something. And he does, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's so simple that, you know, like most people like, oh, my baby slept 6 hours. I wouldn't think too much of it. But that was a big deal to me.
Amen.
And my fever broke in time for me to be ready and able to come to church. That's a big deal to me. And I didn't want to sit down. I just wanted to get up and praise God and,
yes,
you know, just keep stepping out that, like he was saying, it's a cheat code. It's amazing. You know, it's simple things in your natural life that you just put the word on it and God moves. He hears me when I talk to him. And it's such a beautiful thing and I'm so grateful. I never want to take that for granted. And I'm just thankful.
Amen.
Me and Brother Warren are going to play a song, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to play God Smiled on Me.
Yeah.
And then I just want to give a quick testimony that I'm just happy to be here, you know.
Amen.
I appreciate what the testimonies were. I appreciate Sister Kara. You know, I even appreciate that she's sharing what she's going through, you know.
Yeah.
We're all on different spectrums, and, you know, I got kids that are about to go to college. You've got kids that are little, and we all deal with different things. But when you come over here and you're honest, you know, whatever the size of the problem is, you're coming to a place that can give you help,
right,
and it gives you opportunity. Because a lot of times out there in the world, the problem is they hold on to stuff, and then you get anxiety, and then you get depression, and then you get where nobody cares or nobody knows. It's because you haven't shared it. You haven't asked for help. But when you come to the body, whatever the size of the problem is, I mean, because to me, you know, a non-sleeping baby right now would be, I don't care. I would just let it. I would let it cry. You know, that's where I'm at though, because I've dealt with that. But as you're going through it, you got to learn how to deal with it. But that's good that you're learning how to deal with any problem. Because then it's going to keep increasing your faith. You say, you know what? I had this issue. I came to church and they got rid of it. I had this issue. And it doesn't even matter what the problem is. It could be anything. It could be a boss at work. You may be able to deal with a boss at work different than I deal with a boss at work. All those things, it doesn't matter what the problem is. You come here, this is the prescription, and you being honest about it, and you'll get rid of it, and it can help you so much. So I never want you to think that we don't want to hear. I want to hear all about it. We prayed for Henry too much for me not to see all the blessings that's going on with it. I want to hear it, because I don't want you to think that what I'm going through is not important. No, it is. It's important for the body to know how to get through those things, you know. So you're a part of the body. I want to know what my left hand is doing. I want to know. You know, I've stubbed my toe the other day, and my left foot wasn't hurt, but my right foot was. But you know what? My left foot had to overcompensate for it.
Yeah.
I had to like do different things, but that's because it's part of the body.
Right.
You know, it would be weird if I didn't know it. Atrophy would. If I didn't feel it, that means there's no blood going there. There's no life going to it. But I want to feel for the body. So that's just a little thing there. But I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to church. Man, that was a powerful testimony, Brother John. 38 years in this thing. Praise God for you guys. You guys have just been a light to the whole body. You've affected everybody's marriage. You know, a lot of people are married because of you. You know what I mean? So I appreciate what you guys have done. And I'm just really grateful for that. And I love how he ended. He said, you know, we're just still pulling on pastor to bring the word, you know, because you may have a great marriage or a bad marriage. That don't matter. You could be in 1 year of marriage or 3 years of 3 months of dating. That don't matter. But that's not really what we're here for. We're here to hear the word of God. So we're all coming to pull from pastor. So I know he's going to be nervous, but we're excited to hear what he's got to say. I mean, God has used that man too much for me to think that it's not going to use him. So I know God's going to use him. Yeah. I came here expecting to hear from him, you know, and I kind of treat this place. And I told you guys before, I treat this like the ER.
Yeah.
You know, this is my emergency room. I'm not here to play around. I'm not here to play. You know, when if you go to a regular checkup, you don't think anything's wrong. You just sit there. You play on your phone. Whenever the doctor comes out, he comes out. But in the ER, I need him to show up now. Like, I don't care what else is going on with anybody else. I don't care I got problems that I need fixed now. Like, I can't come back another week. I can't reschedule. This is right now. So I'm looking forward to hearing what God's got to say right now. This is the most important time in my life. This is the only thing I got that's important. This is the only thing that's ever sustained me. This is the only thing that's never gotten old. You know, and I appreciate I appreciate in advance what he's going to say, because I'm just really looking forward to it. And the last thing is that we were sitting there, and, you know, Brother Warren had said on Wednesday, he said, "Hey, you know, Brother Jay, you want to play a song?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd be happy to." And, you know, I get in my flesh, and I'm sharing this with you guys. So I played the trumpet for 100 years, right? I know how to play the trumpet. I've been sitting there. I know how to play the trumpet. I'm not nervous about playing the trumpet, but when it comes time to come here, I'm like, well, I'm nervous now. You know, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And one side of it, I'm like, well, if things keep moving on in service, we won't have to play this, you know? I'm thinking that to myself, like, well, you know, if somebody else gets up, Skylar will cut us off, and then I'll just be like, well, sorry, Brother Warren, we can do this Wednesday, you know? But then I had to fight myself. I was like, you know, that'd be silly, you know? Because, like, here, God has been too good. I had to rebuke myself. I'm like, you can't get up and play the trumpet for God.
Yeah.
Who else would you play it for?
Come on.
You're like, what? This is your body. This is your family. Like, who else would you want to play for? Amen. You know, I was just rebuking myself. I'm like, yes. I just went back to that song, The Little Drummer Boy. Like, this is all I have to give. Why would I want to hold back on that? I can't sing. I can't, you know, I can't write songs, but I can play the trumpet. Like, why wouldn't I want to give God my all? He's blessed me so much. I mean, revelation is just... it's so substantial. Like, it just holds you through everything. It's helped me through death. It's helped me through life. It's helped me through
everything.
Everything. And I'm just so grateful and so blessed to be here. I'm looking forward to playing this song, Brother Warren. Come on, let's play it.
Amen.
Do it.
God bless you, Brother Jay. You know, I was feeling the same nervousness, too. And that was a rebuke to me, because I was thinking, well, maybe we won't do it. I don't know, just under the inspiration Wednesday. It was just such a beautiful service. And I said, let's do this. You know, I was looking forward to it. And then today it's like, I'm nervous. But I'm going to do it. God gave me this talent, the little talent that I have, my one talent that God gave me. I'm going to turn around and try and make it two. But I just thank God, too. On the way here, I was thinking about the tree of life, you know, how we have access to the tree of life and how we can see our names in the title deed. It's a beautiful thing. And I was thinking, back in the Old Testament, it was death. I mean, if you went back in the holiest of holies, it was death. Sure. You had to be perfect. And it wasn't anybody. You had to be a priest that had a line of generations preceding you that were all perfect. And now today it's death if you are not in the holiest of holies, if you don't have access to the tree of life and you don't see your name in the book. Oh God, I would not want to be one of those. But you know what, I just come here to I just as humbly as I can, I just want to, you know, just give God some praise in our way. And just thank God for another opportunity to do so. Amen.
Play, y'all.
Thank you.
And remember the announcements? Yeah. I've got fellowship tonight at the main house at 7 or 6. And 24th is the reptile show, and then Easter, March 31st. So remember that. Sign up if you haven't. Let's sing A Sanctuary, 145 in the courses.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this sanctuary. Thank you for this place to run to when we're in trouble, when we're in need, when we can't meet the need. Lord, we can always come to your sanctuary, your hiding place, your pavilion. And Lord, in the hour that we're living in, that sanctuary is lying in us. The kingdom of God is within us. And Lord, when the world is falling apart around us, we can hide in your pavilion. Thank you for this hiding place. Thank you for this place that you have protected, watched over, and kept your hand on. And Lord, I ask you to just come this morning, speak to our hearts, move everything aside, all the hindrance, all the doubts, all the unbelief. Let your word move in this place today. Let it step us up and move us forward. Father, let us be stronger when we leave here than we were when we got here. Answers that we didn't have, Lord, let us walk out the door with them today. Thank you for the healing power, Lord. Touch those that are sick, those that are recovering that need you to still move in their behalf. I ask you to touch, Father. Those that are missing today and not here for sickness or whatever the need is, Father, I ask you to bless them. Be with us today as we open your word. You said where two and three are gathered, you're in the midst. Lord, I know you're here. I can hear you talking. And Lord, I want you to walk these aisles and open your word to our hearts. Prepare us for this word that you're about to give us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and good to be here and to be able to see you come and take part in this service. This is a good thing.
Amen.
It's good for us to be able to gather together in the house of God, because what we do when we come here, we get instruction, we get leadership, we get direction, we get promises, we get healing. We get everything you need. Everything you need, God's got it. And when we come to the house, we come here expecting for God to come. And he said he's going to be here. He said, well, two and three are gathered. He said, I'll be there. I'll be in your midst.
Right, right.
And then he comes and he talks to us. And what he expects from us is to take what he gives us and take it into our lives, become one with your life. And God expects that from us. And we should expect that from ourselves.
Right.
You know, when God talks, God wants us to know something, and once he tells us, then we apply it.
Yes.
That's the way it's always worked, and that's the way it always will work. So now I want to go over here, because we got a busy day. I want to go over here back to where we were last week, to Genesis chapter 3. I want to read a little something here to get us started. And may God help us and move us in his direction. Starting at verse 22, we read it last week, and I want us to start here and read it again, because it's where I'm getting my thought from this morning. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he had taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title this message this morning, Guarding the Tree of Life. We talked last week, and we spent a lot of time talking about the title deed and how that God had removed the title deed from the hand of man. And in doing so, he separated him from the tree of life. And by separating him from the tree of life, he had to do something to keep us getting hold of it, because as long as we had access to the tree of life, we could live forever. Sin or not.
Amen.
You know, it didn't matter whether we did good or evil. As long as we had access to the tree of life, we could still live on.
Yeah.
Adam could have kept going. Eve could have kept going. But God didn't want that. God had already promised them, the day that you eat of this tree is the day that you're going to die. And when God promises something, he always makes sure that it comes to pass. So I thought about this, and after reading last week and talking about the title deed last Sunday, I started focusing in on those cherubims and that tree of life. And I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought I needed to look at these cherubims, because that's what kept us from the tree of life.
Right.
Those cherubims' job was to guard the tree of life. Uh-huh. Brother Branham said in Revelation chapter 4, he said, I just jumped down to where I wanted to read. Cherubims were placed there to guard what? The tree of life. That's what they were to guard, the way to the tree of life. The way, who is the way, Brother Branham asked? And you know who is the way. Jesus is the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where is it reflected from? Here is the holy place. Here are the cherubims. The cherubims were put there to keep us from getting a hold of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because Jesus Christ is the tree of life.
But
those cherubims played an important role. And I was thinking this morning, just before I come, I started looking back at the flaming sword.
Yeah.
I thought about that. I said that, you know, the sword is the word of God.
That's right.
You know, and Brother Branham said that flame, that's God himself. That's that two-edged sword that cut between. The only thing that can cut between the soul and the spirit is the word of God.
Amen.
Now, that sword was put in the hands of that cherubim. Now, and those cherubims were there. And those cherubims were special creatures. And I had to look this up because I thought, well, I want to make sure I know what a cherubim is. And a cherubim are angelic winged beings with human, animal, or bird-like attributes who serve as throne bearers of God. They basically sit before God.
Right, right.
And those beasts, and we'll get more into the cherubims because you're going to find out that God used the cherubims all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He never stopped using them. He always used those for his word. And anytime you look for the word of God, those cherubims are somewhere near. And it says cherubims are described as serving the will of God, performing divine duties in the early realm. Their initial responsibility was protecting the Garden of Eden, as referenced in the book of Genesis. And here those the tree of life was in the garden,
right?
But the cherubim was put between us and the tree of life. And the cherubim was the guard of the tree of life.
Yeah.
And we look over there, and everywhere you saw God move, you saw the cherubims.
Oh.
I mean, the Old Testament, they had them in type, and I won't read all the places, but over there, the tabernacle in the wilderness that was set up by Moses and them, and they were set up according to the will of God and what God was going to set the temple up in the future. He used those cherubims. And over there in Numbers chapter 2, the tabernacle of the congregation, they built this camp, and they built the tribes of Israel after they left Egypt. They had three tribes on each side to bring the 12 tribes together. But in the midst of those tribes, which those four different points were representing, those four areas or four beasts that God used, or the cherubim. Because I could go over there and look in the scripture, those four beasts. Those cherubims had one over there. It talks about the four beasts, the four faces. It had the face of a man,
right,
face of an ox, face of a calf, and the face of an eagle.
Right.
You read that in Genesis. You read that all the way through the Bible.
Amen.
You see it in type. You see it in shadow. And then it winds up in the book of Revelations.
Yeah, right.
So over there in Numbers chapter 2, it breaks it down. I won't do it. It talks about the tribe of Israel and how God arranged them even as they marched through the wilderness. God had all the tribes surrounding that Ark of the Covenant. And within the Ark of the Covenant helped the cherubims.
Yeah.
Because the cherubims were in there protecting the bread of life.
Sure. Right.
The bread of life and the tree of life are one and the same.
Right.
See, what you're going to find is that these cherubims go all the way through the Bible. Right. It just wasn't God just guarding it in the Genesis in the garden. Those cherubims were typing what God was going to do in his whole program.
Right.
Amen.
And even when they were in the wilderness, those tribes of Judah, they all 12 tribes surrounded the Levites. And remember, the Levites were the priests.
Right.
They were the ones who held The word.
Yeah. Right.
And so those Levites, even in type and shadow of the Old Testament, those Levites were holding the word of God, protecting the word.
Right.
See, the thing is, and I was thinking about this morning, I said, our job, even as a believer,
right,
is to protect,
yeah,
the word.
Right.
You may not be all four beasts, but your job as a believer is to protect the word.
Amen.
The rest of the world doesn't have nothing to do with it.
No.
They don't want nothing to do with the word of God. That's why I said, don't worry about the Gentiles. They're heathens. They don't believe. Don't worry about whether they're married or not. Don't worry about whether they have a testimony or not. The world's not going to have a testimony.
Right. No.
The world's not going to represent Christ.
Amen.
But what about you?
Right. Amen.
You, yeah, should be just as much a protector of the word as those Levites were.
Amen. Amen.
Right. You say, well, I'm not a Levite. I'm not a, you're a priest.
Yes, ma'am.
You're a priest and king.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is within you.
Right.
The protection should come from you. If the world sees anything,
right,
out of you,
right,
it should be you protecting the word of God.
Amen.
That's what it's always been.
Amen.
But sometimes I don't think we've been so protective.
Come on, preach.
Sometimes I think we don't care.
Right.
We don't put it first place.
Right.
We don't make it our life.
Amen.
We make it part of our life, but I mean, it's not enough to just have him be part of your life.
Right.
Now, in the Old Testament, when they were walking through the wilderness, their entire job was to protect the kingdom,
right,
protect the word, protect the Levites. You know, the Levites didn't carry the swords and things. They weren't the fighters.
No.
They weren't the fighters. They were the ones who kept the word.
Right.
They were the ones who surrounded the word. If you were going to get to the word, you were going to have to go through the Levites to get to them.
Right.
And remember, when Moses and them crossed the river, it was the Levites. And remember when Joshua crossed and Moses crossed? When Moses crossed, it was different than when Joshua crossed.
Right.
When Moses crossed, he had the rod, and he went out there, and he put his rod out there and spoke the word, and the rivers parted. Well, when they got to that point, they were able to see for a fact that God had made a way. They knew that God had made a way. But then when they had looked at what Joshua did, when God stepped out with Joshua, it was different. Joshua had to do this by faith.
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
He didn't have the waters parted when they went across the Red Sea. When they went across the sea, they didn't have the waters parted. They had to actually put the Levites out there.
Right.
They had to put the leaders, the church out there, put them in the front. And they started walking.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And they walked with the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And they didn't see nothing.
No, sir. Oh, not at all.
It didn't even look like Moses.
Right.
They had the Ark of the Covenant and stepped out there. And the water did not even part until.
Until
they stepped in the water.
Yes. Right. Amen.
They had to do that by faith.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we have to do things by faith.
Amen.
We can't always have all the answers.
Right.
We don't always see everything. Because, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
Once you know who you are, and you know who you are, you just walk. You just walk, and you know that God's got you.
Yes.
You know he's going to protect you.
Amen.
You know he's going to keep you. And you take that step, even if your feet get wet.
Come on.
Right.
And they will.
Preach.
But because of who you are.
Yes.
Because you're the priesthood of God.
Right.
Because you're the Levites, you're going to step out anyway.
Amen.
You're going to push out on it anyway. And that's the way they were in the Old Testament. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the cherubims. The cherubims was holding and covering the word of God.
Right.
It was the type and the shadow showing that God was there with them, protecting the word.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I always talk about three levels of protection.
Yes.
I got three levels, people. If it's just you having an issue, I'll protect you. And I'll help you and I'll guide you. And then if it starts affecting the body, then I got to bring it out to the body. Because I got to protect the body. Then when it starts affecting the message, the word, that's just three levels. And that's the way it works with the children of Israel. They had the tribes on the outside.
Right, right.
They had the Levites on the inside.
Amen.
But in the inside was the holies of holies.
Yes.
Those are those three levels.
And you had to protect that.
Amen.
You had to hold that. You needed to realize that that was your whole, that was their whole life.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a part of their life.
No.
A lot of times people want to live their life and live God's life. You can't have both.
No. Right.
You can't serve God and man.
Amen.
You can't be in the Word and in the world.
Right.
It's one or the other.
Amen.
It's in or out. It's turn or burn.
Yes. Right.
That's the way it works. And so here, the children of Israel, they, in the Old Testament, they had the type and the shadow of the layout of how God was going to build his church. They really did. And when they had those tribes around the Levites, and the Levites were the only ones to touch the ark.
That's right.
Amen.
Only ones who were supposed to put their hand on the ark.
Amen.
Everybody else supposed to listen to the Levites, listen to the what was being said. And that's the type of the fivefold ministry. You don't come with your own idea. You don't come with your own thinking. Oh, you do, but you can't keep it. So like I said, when you first come to this message, you come with all 100% your idea. You do, every last one of us. We come with 100% of our own ideas. But then when you get in the presence of the Levites, and the Levites start ministering to you the word of God, which they get from inside the ark, when they start ministering that to you, that's when your thinking starts changing. That's when you start laying your ideas down, your ambitions down, your future down. You know, eventually you got to lay it all down. You say, well, I'm going to keep my thinking. I got a good job. I'm going to keep my... When the body change comes, you going to try to hang on to that job? You're going to try to hang on to that traditional, well, go to work, get up every day and go to work? Or are you going to lay that tradition down? I guarantee you, you will lay that tradition down. And every time the word of God comes forth, every time the services are gathered, when you come here, you should be laying down your traditions.
Amen.
Not trying to hold on, not trying to keep anything, just laying it down. Now, I'm going to move today because I know we got things to do. But these types and these shadows are showing us that that cherubim was always there guarding.
Right.
Always.
Right.
It guarded in the Old Testament when they were in the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And when they were out there and when they finally got the ark to a place where they could build a temple, and that was Solomon's job,
right,
when they built a temple, the ark was there.
Yeah. Right.
But inside this temple, they still had the coordinates of everything just perfect. And in there, on the inside of the holy, there the cherubims were. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, if you want to read it, 7 through 10. That ark was built, that temple was built, and they built it and made a place for the inside, the holies of holies, for the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that ark, there the cherubims were. And so you need to understand that those cherubims are always there to guard. That's all they did. That's all they did.
Right.
And so, and with Solomon's temple, there came the guards, there came the cherubims. And just an interesting fact, I saw what Brother Branham said, and I'll just read this just so you see how important those cherubims are. And question and answer number one, Brother Branham said, this is one liner here, it said, Satan was the most beautiful angel. He was a cherubim that overshadowed. Satan was. Satan was. He's supposed to have been guarding the word. He didn't guard the word. He misinterpreted the word. And I thought it was interesting that Satan was the closest thing to God. He was the closest thing to God. He could do it. And Brother Branham also said in Marriage and Divorce, he said, did you know that Satan was co-equal with God one day? Sure was. All but a creator. He was everything. Stood at the right hand of God in the heavens. The great leading cherubim. It was Satan. He was supposed to be protecting the word. That was his job. But he changed one word. And by changing one word, it threw him out of his position. It threw him out of everything. He thought that he had so much God that he could take it over. That's how close he was. And that's what happened to people. They get so exalted in their own relationship with God that they think they could take it over.
Right.
That's why churches split.
That's right.
That's why people stop listening to the word of God. That's why all the stuff happened, because they do just what Satan did. They take one word and twist it. They change it. They move it. But the thing was, Satan was ordained to do so because God had a bigger plan than Satan. Do you realize Satan was playing a part in God's plan? I mean, you would think that it was God's plan and Satan's plan. No, it was just God's. There's only one plan. There's only one plan. That's God's plan. And you're going to have a part to play. Everybody has a part to play in God's plan. Even the devil has a part to play in God's plan. Now you say, well, I'm going to play a part in God's plan, or I don't want to play a part. You can't help but to play a part. You say, I don't believe I'm a part. See, there you go. Playing a part of an unbeliever. And the thing is, everybody's got a part to play. Satan had a part to play. He thought he was the best cherubim. He thought he was the one that was guarding the throne. But then what he come to find out, he wasn't as good as he thought he was. God kicked him out. But God kicked him out for a purpose. You know, we talk about Romans 8, all things work together for good. I mean, it really does. Because there's only one plan. And it's been God's plan the whole way through. When God put that cherubim at the Garden of Eden and put him at the garden with that flaming sword, that was part of the plan. Because God knew in type that his cherubim's job is to protect the word.
Right.
So when Solomon built his temple, he incorporated the cherubims. Now, Brother Brown said, now remember, he's talking about the cherubim. Now the cherubim, I don't bring it, but over there in Ezekiel, it describes the cherubim. And a cherub had four heads. And it had six wings.
Yes, it did.
And all of these things mean something. And those four heads on this cherubim, imagine. One had a face of a man. One had a face of a lion. One had a face of a calf. And one had a face of an eagle. That was a cherub. He said, well, I've heard that before. You're going to hear it all through the Bible. Because God used the same four all the way through. And you got to understand that those four beasts, that cherubim, when God used those, they were God's men. Or God's bird, or God's animal. They were used by God. Now remember, Brother Branham said, he's talking about the wings. Two, he covered his face in the presence of God and to be reverent. Second, the two wings over his feet meant humility before God. And the third set of wings, now, he put himself into action. He could fly with those two wings, see? Two over his face, two over his feet, and flying with two. Now, what is it? Reverence, humility, and action.
Amen.
Reverence, humility, and action. Write those three down. Because those three that the cherubim held, that nature is a nature of a Christian.
Amen.
Reverence. We talk about the house of God. You know, my deacons, they get on y'all when y'all are standing around and hear chit-chat.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because you should have reverence.
Right, right.
You should have reverence in the house of God.
True.
And humility?
Oh, my.
You shouldn't be high.
No.
Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You should put away the worldly pleasures.
Right.
Because you love God.
Right.
And you're humble with it. You're not boastful. Oh, look what I have. Oh, look who I am. You know, I can always tell somebody who's not humble.
Right.
By what they say.
Because
there's some people who put on humility.
Right.
And it's not real.
Amen.
They're not really preferring their brother.
No.
Matter of fact, you know that my poem?
Yeah, right.
Love is becoming a footstool that others might reach higher.
Right.
A footstool don't say nothing.
No.
It just stands there
right.
And be used.
Right.
A real humble person isn't somebody that's out front trying to be the one who's got everything and know all and said.
Right.
He's humble. He, matter of fact, he's taking the back seat.
Right.
And he's preferring his brother.
Right.
Now, these are traits that these cherubs had.
Right.
And those cherubs, same traits should be in a believer.
Right.
And a third is action. You are not going to be a believer who sits on the sideline and let everybody else do the thing.
Amen.
You're not going to sit back and let everybody else do it.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't have this. I don't have that. You know that humility? It's not my makeup. It's not this. It's not. No.
Yeah.
Those are excuses to cover up your lack of action. Well, God knows my heart. He knows your heart. He's trying to change your heart.
Amen.
He wants to use you. Do you realize God wants to use you?
Amen.
That's why he chose you. Well, the problem's not God. The problem is us.
Amen.
We don't want to be used. Or we want to be used to an extent.
Come on now.
We want to give God 30%. Some of us 20%. We might give him 50%. He wants 100%.
Amen.
He wants you to be him in action.
Amen.
Not just him in word. Not just you saying, oh, I believe it. You know, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. He believes more than some of us. You got to look at yourself and see what actions is God asking me to do. He wants to put you in action because God can't move without you. God can't talk without you. He can't clap his hands without you. And he really wants you to put him in action in your life. Brother Branham said here, I'm trying to jump down, I don't want to read it all. Think two wings over their faces first. Finally, what will it be? Let's find out what the two wings over the face meant. When God is so holy that even the holy angels and cherubims had to cover their face to stand in his presence, how are we to stand?
Yeah.
When to stand, we all have to in the presence of God. He is the supreme judge, and we'll all have to stand in his presence. And holy angels that never knew what sin was, they were created a special being. And standing in his presence had to cover their holy faces to stand there. If angels had to cover their faces to stand there, what will we do? To have to live in the presence of God, if we stand in his presence, we've got a covering, though. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that any of us will be able to stand in the presence of God. There's no man that is worthy to stand in his presence. But that's why the blood of Jesus Christ was so important. That allows you to be able to stand in his presence. Now, that Ark of the Covenant that was in Solomon's temple, it was laying in there, and that ark was it was a protector of the people. Remember when the ark went down and they lost the ark in battle and they had the ark out somewhere, I forget where it was at, and I didn't pull the scripture, but just thinking about it, I said, you know, and David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back, and the people were all excited about bringing it back, because wherever the ark went, they were blessed.
Right.
Wherever the cherubims were, they were blessed.
That's right.
And they had the ark down there and in the country somewhere, and everything they touched was blessed.
Yes. That's right.
Wherever the ark is, church,
they're
blessed.
Amen.
And here they were. David thought, I'm going to get this ark back home because we need to get blessed too.
Yeah.
But he had a problem. He didn't consult the Levi. He didn't consult the priest. He made his own way. So that's what some church people do. They don't consult the priest. Because you know what? You know why some of y'all don't ask me some things about your life? You didn't expect me to go there, huh, Jeremiah? You know why y'all don't ask me some things about your life? Not because you're so spiritual. And not because you're in such tune with God and God talks to you lip to ear personally. You don't talk to me because you don't want the answer. But let me tell you a little something this morning, church. If you know what the answer is that I would tell you, then you already got the answer. Oh, I don't want to ask the pastor, because if I ask him, he's not going to let me do it. Then I've already talked to you. I mean, that's what they did. They'll build their little ark, their little cart. You'll build your little cart and put your little ark on it and think you're going to do God a favor by carrying it somewhere. And you're giving God 20, 30, 40%, and you never asked the high priest, you never talked to the Levites, you never even got the instruction on how it's supposed to be done.
I know you're preaching.
Right. You know when you call the priest? When your wheel's in a ditch. Yeah. When you need somebody to help you get out.
You might have said.
When you're in jail. When you have problems. When you lose your family, when you lose your job, when you lose all these things, and you had your own ark, and you had your own cart, and you've been carrying your own life. This is my life. God's got my life. He does. He.
Amen. Come on. You preaching? Amen.
Does he?
Right.
Like I said, you won't ask me what to do. Because you want to do your own thing. And you, in your thinking, you think as long as I don't ask him. See, but what you don't understand is there's a holies of holies. And that holies of holies is in you talking to you. And if you, you know that old saying that the world did for a while, they've about got over it now. What would Jesus do? You know, they had it on bracelets. They had it on everything. You don't see that too much, no. It bothered them too much. Well, I want to go here. But I don't want nobody to know. When a married man wants to pick up somebody in a bar, he takes his ring off. When a Christian wants to do something they know they don't supposed to do, they won't ask. They won't take you with them. And see, the thing about it is, what's so funny about it is God already knows, and you already know. You're not fooling the Levites. You're only fooling yourself, because I know what I've preached to you. I know what I've told you. I know what I've already brought to you, but you don't choose to do it. You're going to put the ark on your own cart and go your own way.
That's right.
Right.
And your life don't prosper. You don't prosper. You get in trouble. And then you got to call me, because I got to come in and get you out of. I got to bail you out.
Amen.
This wagon's stuck in the mud, and it's too much for me to push by myself. Who can I call? The pastor's always available.
Right.
The pastor always helps. The pastor will come. The pastor, the pastor, the pastor. Now you want to call me.
Amen.
And you will get stuck.
Amen.
But had you consulted me.
Right.
Before you took that route.
Amen.
And you know what I'm going to say about it.
You might as well. Amen.
That ain't ignorant. Ignorance is not knowing better. That's willful. Willful ignorance. You choose to be dumb. But when you choose to be dumb, you're just dumb. The Bible says that, Brother Lockie, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it's sin. You step out there with your ark, put it on the cart. Try to do that. That's what David did. And he put it on that new cart. He thought if it was new, that made a difference. But that wasn't the word of God. Nobody was supposed to carry the word of God but the Levites. Nobody should interpret the word of God to you but the Levites. You don't even interpret it to yourself. God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. So there, he already laid out a way. He's already shown you what to do. He already made the path for you. All you got to do is follow the instruction that God already gave you. You know when you're doing right, and you know when you're doing wrong. We're not tricked in this hour. We're not deceived in this hour. The thing is, are you protecting the ark?
Amen.
The answer sometimes has to be no. But remember, that's the job, is to protect the word, to protect the ark. Now, just to save time, Revelation chapter 2. Remember in Genesis 3, the cherubim was put in the way of the ark, way of the tree of life, so that we couldn't get to it. And all the way down through the Bible, God used that scenario. He used that layout. He always protected the word. You want to see what God does? We're going to show you what God does. He always protects his word. He that has an ear, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life is still in the midst of the paradise of God. It never moved. But the requirements changed here. Before, the cherubims were put in the way to keep you from the eating from the tree of life. But here in Revelation 2, he says, and here's the key. He that overcometh. In order to eat of this tree, you got to overcome. You got to push. You got to take a stand. You got to be identified. You got to lay your hand on the sacrifice. He that overcomes, he's the one that's going to be able to eat of that tree. Nobody else. Now, it's funny, that's in the book of Revelations. Because in the book of Revelation, that's the book of the revealing, the opening up. And God's letting you know it's all of his secrets now. Brother Branham said, to him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a thrilling thought is this. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which could not be approached. It could not be approached into because of the fall of Adam. Adam are giving... because of the fall of Adam, is given to the overcomer. The flaming sword of the guarding cherubim has been sheathed. Put it away. Before, you couldn't get to that tree. But now he's saying, I put my sword away, and if you overcome, you get to eat of the tree of life. Eretz's blade was bloodied with the blood of the Lamb. Let us meditate upon that truth as we consider why the tree was denied to Adam and his descendants, but now allowed again. Adam lost access to that tree. Remember, he had already done good and evil, and had he still had access to the tree of life, he could have still done good and evil and had tree of life. Could have lived forever. But God didn't want man to live forever in that state. Matter of fact, he said, I have to have you born again. I have to do this over again because y'all messed this up. You're the way you got here is wrong. You messed up from the start, and now I cannot let you live eternally in that house. So I'm going to put my cherubims to guard the way. Remember, the cherubims guard the way to the tree of life. But it just wasn't something God did in the Old Testament. Remember, so I think I said last week, somebody asked about reading the Bible. I told him to start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the easiest ones to read of the New Testament. Easy understood. But the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, represents those same four beasts. Matthew represented man. And I won't go into all the details, but I'll just to summarize. Like I said, I'm trying to save time. I'm moving fast. I've already made it to the New Testament. It's 11 o'clock. Matthew represented man. Mark represented the lion. Luke represented the ox. And John represented the eagle. You say, well, what was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What were they doing? They were guarding. This is what Brother Brim said about the number four. I'm reading this just because I think it's just perfect. And four is the number of earth. Did you know that? How many knows? Now, before we go into it, four is a number, is an earthly number. Sure, like the four Hebrews, the number of earth, of deliverance. Now, keep that in your mind, deliverance, because I'm going to strike it in just a minute, real hard, see? Deliverance. Now, there were three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, but the fourth one came, it was deliverance. Lazarus was in the grave 3 days, but when the fourth one come, he was delivered. Four is God's number of deliverance. So it shows that these beings must have been something about the earth. Those four beasts, ox, man, calf, and eagle, they had to do with the earth. And it was important to know that because those four beasts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had one thing to do. What did they guard? All right, what did they guard? Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Right. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's what they guarded. Yeah. They were guarding the book of Acts. Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember that flaming sword went every which way? I was thinking about this morning. I said, when the denominations read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it turns them every which way. They don't know what to do with it. They get over there to the book of Acts. They don't understand what happened on the day of Pentecost. But the day of Pentecost was where the God and man's fellowship was reunited again. The tree of life was given access to man in the book of Acts. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's job was to protect the book of Acts, that nobody could just get that book. And they didn't understand it. They read it. They read the book of Acts, and they couldn't understand it. Pentecostal apostolics, they got tongues out of it. Denominations got this out of it. They got that out of it. They'd read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it sent them every which way. They started denomination on this, and they started on that. and they got pieces of this and pieces of that. But the whole time, those four guards were guarding the book of Acts, the uniting of God and man, where man and God once more were able to fellowship with the tree of life.
Right.
That's how man got fellowship with the tree of life.
Amen.
Acts 2:38.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized. And this promise of that new life was given to all of us.
Right.
It was a promise. Brother Branham said in the breach, he said, and I heard a man say, a great minister say, the book of Acts is just a scattered work. He didn't have a clue. It was the first vine that the Holy Church ever put forth. Yes, sir. She ever put forth another one, it'll be that kind too. Yes, sir. You got so grafted vines and they're bearing lemons. Ought to be oranges. But see, when the vine, that vine ever puts forth a branch again, it'll be exactly like the original. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those gospels are standing there guarding that. The wisdom of man, the power of a lion, the work of an ox, and the swiftness of an eagle. The gospel standing there. See, those beasts were all guarding for the book of Acts.
Right.
And people don't know what to do with Acts.
Right.
People don't know what to do with a new birth.
Right.
Acts is where the new birth came in. See, Jesus over in St. John, when he was talking to Nicodemus, over there, he told him, he said, you must be born again. But he didn't tell him how.
Right.
He didn't give him the key.
Right.
Peter had the key.
Right.
Peter used the key. Peter was given. He said, blessed are John, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you.
Right.
Revelation came by the book of Acts.
Amen. Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just guarded for it. But that real communication with the tree of life between man and God happened in the book of Acts. The communication between God and man in the Old Testament tabernacle in the wilderness happened in that tabernacle. The communication between God and man happened in the Temple of Solomon when the high priest went into the holies of holies in the tabernacle. It's always been God's communicating with man. And here we get to the New Testament and we almost think it's done. Oh no. God still used those same four beasts.
All right.
They were guarding the book of Acts. They were keeping us out of the way. But when they got to the book of Acts, they showed us how to communicate again with God. Now, in Revelations chapter 1, we read this all the time.
Right.
Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
Right.
It was Jesus' revelation given by God. It wasn't Jesus' revelation alone.
Amen.
He got his word from God.
Right.
He got his understanding of his whole plan of redemption from God.
Right.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth.
Yeah.
Here you go. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When you can read and understand this, time's at hand. When you can read this, you have access to the tree of life. John knew that in chapter 1. And he knew that that Bible was the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. We weren't just guessing at this anymore. See, that's the thing now. We've got it so easy because all the gifts works out. We're sitting here talking with the tree of life every service. We meditated at home every service. Every time we go home, we're thinking on the tree of life. We're communicating with the tree of life.
Amen.
It's not hard when you have the tree of life right there before you.
Right.
And we have it so easy that now we almost will get laxed and take it for granted just because it's so easy. I mean, when it's easy for Clarice to take laundry and throw in the washing machine. But I have a pot in my yard that I got from my grandmother that she used to wash her clothes in. That she had to put a fire under and take a stick. And I remember, take a stick and took those clothes and dipped them down in the water and washed them out in the field. Had a rub board and lye soap. Lye soap was homemade soap. Chew your skin off. But it got the dirt out of the clothes. And you had to do that by hand, and you did that. Then you wring them out by hand, or my grandmother would take them and beat them on a rock. Then hang them up on a line and let them dry all day long. You got to get them before the sun go down so the dew don't hit it.
Yes, sir, you're right. You're right.
That's a whole lot different than throwing your laundry in a machine and pushing a button. But we take it for granted now. Right. It's so easy.
Right.
It's so simple.
Right.
And we've been exposed to the greatest revelation that this world has ever known.
Yes.
And it's become so easy, so simple. We don't worry about nothing. Like Don said, we don't have to worry about a thing. No, you don't. But we have a job to do.
Amen.
We have a word to guard. We have to make a stand, Jeremiah.
Yes.
Guarding the tree of life.
Yeah.
Where is the tree of life today?
Amen.
So the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it was wrote by prophets. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who in sundrying times spake to the fathers by the prophets, in the last days speaking to us in his Son Jesus Christ, which was the prophets, all of them put together. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah. All that they were in him. And all that you are, all that I am, is in him. Words, witnesses of the word. So it's not the book of systems, codes, and moral ethics. That's what people try to get you to. They're trying to get you to those systems, moral ethics. It's not a code of moral ethics. Neither is it a history book. Don't just come here and learn a lot about the Bible because it's good history.
Right.
It's not just a history book or a book of theology. Some people just come because they want to be smart. You know, they say, well, Fairborn's got all the revelation, so we go to Fairborn. That's not enough. It's not getting your theology. It's not coming here and getting your notes right and coming here. And remember, we're talking about protecting the tree of life, guarding that thing.
Right.
When it becomes you and you become it, then your whole life becomes a guard. What you do, where you go, how you act, all of it. You should be guarding it.
Amen.
You got the tree of life in there. You got access to everything God is. You are the final voice to the final age. If they're going to see any God, where are they going to find him?
Amen.
If they're going to hear from God, where are they going to hear from God?
Amen.
If they're going to see God, where are they going to see God? Oh, it's good to have all the theology. It's good to know Brother Branham was a prophet. It's good to have all the quotes and good to know the seals and the church ages. It's good to have all this doctrine. But if that doctrine doesn't become one thing in your life, then it's no good.
Amen. You're right.
God is the Word. And Jesus being the flesh. It was a revelation how God, the Word, was manifested in human flesh and revealed to us. And that's why he became a son of God. He is a part of God. You understand? Now, he's not. The body is the part of God so much that it's a son. Because ye are sons. Ye are sons because you house the body. You are the body of God.
Amen.
That's what makes you a son of God.
Right.
Because the tree of life is in there. Now, those four beasts that we read in Genesis, that's just cherubims, come all the way over to Revelations. Revelations chapter 4. Verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion. Here they go.
Yeah.
Yes. That we started in Genesis with these four. And then the second beast like a calf. And the third beast was the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. Yeah. There's those wings.
Yeah.
What did I say they were? What was it? Reverence, humility, and action. So what they did in Genesis carries all the way over to Revelation.
That's right.
And the beast had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rested not day or night, saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Constantly, 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 constantly. Before the throne, constantly saying these things. Constantly bringing us up. These four beasts. You got to realize that these four beasts are the four beasts that were sent down through all the ages. Those horse riders that Satan put out, God already had four beasts lined up to combat that devil.
Yes.
And protect the word. That's what they did. Those four beasts' job was to protect the word.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 6, I won't read all this chapter, but you can. But what I want to point out here is that every time a beast would step forward, his job was to point out Satan. He exposed Satan every time. That's what those cherubims were. They were exposing Satan. They were protecting the word. They were guarding the tree of life. Every time Satan would raise up something, those beasts would raise up and say, look, there he is, there he is.
Right.
Revelations chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened up one seal, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts said, come and see.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, this was at the opening of the seals.
Amen.
This was at the completion of the seven church ages. This is when it was all over. The seals were not open till after the six, after the seven ages were done.
Right.
And when the seven ages were done, the seals are ripped off. And those same beasts, because remember, those same beasts, they were there at the opening of the seals, but they did their job down through time.
That's right.
Remember, you're in eternity here. You're not bound by time like we are down here. But when that beast stepped forth, he went and did his job.
Right.
In the age that he's supposed to do it.
Right.
There was four beasts in the span of seven ages.
Right.
So it overlaps the hours. It overlaps the ages.
Yeah.
One beast went forth, then the next beast went forth, then the next beast went forth, and then the next beast went forth.
Right.
There were four beasts, but there were seven ages. So it wasn't seven beasts. There was only four.
Right.
What four? Ox. Calf, man, lion, and eagle. Those four beasts were spread across those seven ages to guard the tree of life. No different than what they did in Genesis. No different than what they did with Moses. No different than they did with Solomon. No different than they did with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here we have those four beasts all down through the ages doing the very same thing, protecting the whole way through. You can read it on down through there, but I won't. Brother Branham said, notice, as the Antichrist went forth on his beast of ministry there, God sent forth a beast to combat it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
See, now watch. Then every time the beast rode on his horse, the Antichrist rode on his horse.
Right.
On his beast that announced his ministry. God sent his beast also, and he was on that to announce his and to combat it. Now see, those four beasts, their job was to guard the tree of life, to protect it, to make sure it's okay. And when we needed to have a sacrificial age, God provided the beast. God provided the cherubim to combat that age. And the combat was to protect the tree of life. Each one had their own job. So after he come, then comes, well, the ox came and sacrificed himself. And when it got to a point where God wanted to bring about education, because see, they always think we're against education. We're not against education. Just if you get educated and it pulls you away from God, that's the devil. That's the wrong way. Anything that takes you away from the tree of life, the word of God, it's Satan. Your job, and I repeat this, your job is to protect the tree of life. Now here over here, and we got these beasts, and they went forth, each one of them. Each one of them had their piece, they had their job to do, and they were sent to each age. Brother Brown, so now remember, according to Revelation, the whole mystery of the book is sealed with seven seals that the reformers didn't have a chance to bring forth. But four stages of reforming, the fourth stages of four beasts that went out to meet the four powers of the world. The first went out, he says, what was the first that went out? A lion to meet the Roman age. That was the word, the original, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That was the Lord himself. That was the tree of life. Amen. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ himself went to meet that age. Yes. What was the next animal that went out to meet? The next animal went out to meet the other horse rider. What was he? See, first the horse rider was dressed in white, crowned on his head, later and so forth, but a bow with no arrows. That was Satan. Yeah, right. He went out and he was deceiving. When he went out there in his church, he went out deceiving and being deceived. Right. He had a bow and he didn't have no arrows. Right. He couldn't hurt nobody. That's right. Notice the second horse rider went forth. The beast that went to meet him was an ox. Yeah. And the ox is a beast of sacrifice. They went down and martyred him during the dark age. Right. There you go. We're starting to walk through the church ages. Yeah, right. And there those four beasts are doing what they were ordained to do. And those beasts, when they come on the scene, they didn't just come on the scene and do it. They came on the scene to anoint man.
Right.
And man did it.
Right.
It wasn't done by the beast.
Right.
It was just an anointing that God sent on mankind.
Amen.
Amen. And we're always looking at it, but we don't pay much attention to what was actually done. The third beast that went to meet the next horse, before death horse rode, death and hell, the next beast that went to meet that horse rider of that day was the beast with the face of a man. How many know that? The intellectual age, the reformers, Luther, Wesley, Calvin, Knox, Finney, Moody, see? He wasn't just talking about Luther. It was the entire age. It was under the age of Luther.
Amen.
Under Wesley. And they were all under that knowledgeable, smart, educated doctors. But God needed them. So he sent a beast of a man out, so that beast could spread the spirit on the age.
Amen.
That brought the intelligence of man forth. That was God.
Amen.
But then notice, what went forth in the evening time? A brother says an eagle, prophetic, back again. It shall be light about the evening time. The way to glory you shall surely find. One church of the living God. Oh, church of the living God. He said, we are in that last age. Remember, it's not the eagle. It's the spirit of the eagle on the age. Yes. That cherubim of an eagle is at the last age in his people. Just like they had to give their life. Just like they had to build and restore and make Bibles. Interpret into English and other languages. Just like all the other ages had to do their thing. We get at the end time the eagle age. But it's another beast. That's you.
Amen.
You're supposed to be protecting something.
Amen.
That's your job. Don't take your job lightly.
Amen.
Don't take your life lightly.
Amen.
You've got something to do. You say, well, they gave their life. The spirit of ox gave their life. And the spirit of man, they made Bibles. Okay? Those six wings were in action. The next six wings are in action. The first six wings are in action. I'd almost think we don't have six wings. But we do. You got something to do. Everybody else had something to do. And so, what should that do to us?
Right.
We should be protectors
right.
of this tree of life.
Amen.
Just as much as they were.
Right.
And the seriousness of the hour is more serious. What did I say in January? This is a year. This is a year. Dedication. Sincerity. We said that. But we got to protect the tree of life.
Amen.
How do I protect the tree of life?
Right.
I should turn into a Bible study and have a discussion. Because I'd get 50 different answers. How do I protect the tree of life? What's protecting the tree of life? Well, when they had to give their life, that was protecting the tree of life. You say, well, they actually died. Yeah. But that spirit that was on them made it so easy for them to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm not saying dying's easy. I'm saying the spirit of God that was on them made it possible.
Right.
And they couldn't help but to do it because that was their job. They were protecting the word. When it came back to the age when we had to have the Bibles and Luther had to step up and put the theses on the door and walk away from the Catholic Church. And that wasn't easy. But what if he used 2 out of 6 wings or 4 out of 6 wings? He wouldn't have got the job done. But he did get the job done. Because you know what? If you're a cherub, you're going to do the job.
Amen.
Period.
Yes.
You are as much as ordained for the spirit of the day that you're living in as that cherubim in front of the great white throne. It is a new birth. When you get your calling for your day, that puts you into action. God didn't call you to just sit on the sideline.
No.
God didn't call you to keep your old ways and just to go your own way. He's got something for you to do.
Amen.
He's got a job for every eagle.
Right.
Oh, you say, well, I see this thing. I see this thing. I see this thing. Oh, that's really humble. But if you see it, what's it doing to you? Is it putting you into action? Are you protecting?
Yeah.
Or is it, it's not my job. Or it'll happen. Oh, I believe the body change is going to happen. Hallelujah. And that's all you got? You ain't trying to protect. That's the cherubim's job. And that's what we're ordained to do. We got a message to get out. This thing's got to go around the world. We got people to meet. We got things to do. We got people to talk to. We got people to help. We got people to give this same thing, whatever you say you see. They need you so that they can see it. Because how can you hear except to be preached? You got to have preachers. You got to have people do it. You have to have the Levites. You have to have people who's going to be here standing in the gap, protecting the ark. That's our job, Jeremiah. Amen. But then the Levite tells you what the word says, and then what should all the tribes of Israel do? Get right behind it. Oh, it wasn't just the Levites walking through the wilderness. Everywhere, every time the Levites moved, all the tribes of Israel moved. Amen. Oh, it's not just about me having a revelation. Oh, I like going to Fairborn because Pastor Moore's got a deep revelation of this word, and I love this word, and I like hearing him. That ain't about that. I'm not by myself.
No. Right. Amen.
It's a body movement.
Amen.
We got out of that singleness when we got to a place where we recognized the opening of the seals brought us firstly to a body.
Right.
And now we move as a body.
Yes.
Where the high priest goes, the tribe goes.
Yes.
And we do it in the same order that God did its temple all the way through. So we are at the age now that we've got the eagle. The eagle is the bird that flies higher than any other bird. And we do.
Yes.
The eagle sees farther than any other bird. And we do. The eagle eats meat from day one.
Yes.
And we do. The eagle nests are always up high. They're not walking around on the ground. They're not ground nesters. They want it up out of the way so the devil can't get them.
Amen.
They want it up where they can protect their young.
Right. Amen.
They want to do the things. That's an eagle. So if that's the age that we're living in, and if that's the cherubim that we're representing, we got to protect.
Right.
Amen.
Protect this message. Yes. Protect this word. Make sure that what the world sees when they see you, they see Christ. Because that should be all they see. If they see any more than that, they're looking too deep. If they want to see Christ, where are they going to find him? It's all they'll find him in the ministry. Hallelujah, we got a good ministry here. They dress up, they preach deep, they do a lot of good. But what about you?
Yeah.
Oh, the ministry protects this revelation. We won't let no false doctrine come in here. We won't let nobody do it. That's the ministry's job.
Right.
But what about your job?
Right.
It's not just the ministry going to heaven. You're going.
Amen.
It's the entire age.
That's right.
We're all eagles. Amen. That spirit should be on all of us.
Yes.
And we should be guarding for this message, guarding for this word, standing in the gap, holding up our part, our part, our part,
yeah.
Our part.
Right.
Our little part.
Right.
Just a little bit that we can do.
Amen.
That's the part we guard for.
Amen.
Guard your heart.
Yes.
Guard what's going on in there. Guard what it's producing in your life. That's who we are.
Amen.
Guarding for that tree of life. And the tree of life is in you.
Right.
So your life should reflect that guardianship. It really should. It calls for something. It calls for a separation. It calls for a submission. It calls for a humility. And it calls for action. Action in your life. And if that isn't happening, is the spirit of that cherubim on you?
Right.
Right.
That's where it brings it home.
Right.
Oh, it's good me and Jeremiah and Jay preach up a storm.
Right.
But what happens when it leaves our lips?
is it producing that tree of life in you?
Right.
And when it produces that tree of life in you, do you guard for it?
Yeah.
Do right. you protect yeah. it? That's our job. That's where we're at, church. That's what this year calls for.
Yeah.
That's what the tree of life calls for. That's what the job of the guards are calling for. And as we go further in this year, we want to protect more.
Amen.
Want to guard more. Want to be more sincere. Want to be more humble. Want to be put in action. More reverent. That's what we want. When you enter even simple things of entering into the house, you say, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a building with lights and windows. No. This is where you meet God. You know those high priests, when they went into the holies of holies, they didn't go in there chewing gum. They didn't go in there playing games. They were sincere. They had to watch even how they walked. If they didn't walk a certain way, and everybody else was on the outside of the holies of holies, because only the high priest went in. But what they were listening for was a certain walk. And the bell would ring a certain way. And if that bell stopped, they didn't go get him. They just pulled him out by that rope that's around his foot with the bell on it. So all these things are important. Our deacons, get on you about getting in and out of the services and not talking and running in church and all these things. These are all important because all this creates an atmosphere so that God can be free to do what he wants to do, protecting the tree of life. That's what I want us to do. Look at ourselves. Look at the church. Look at how we present ourselves. Am I protecting that tree of life? Am I doing what that eagle cherubim supposed to be doing with what God's blessed me with? Because we've been blessed. It's not hard for us. We come in here and we get revelation after revelation after revelation.
Yeah.
God deals with us so much that you listen to the radio, and I was listening Saturday, and I don't listen much because a lot of it just, it doesn't help. But I was listening Saturday, and there was a Bible study, a Bible something, and somebody asked the minister, his doctor of divinity, asking about the Son of Man. And of course, I thought, I got to hear this. And it was so far off, I thought, oh my goodness. I thought, he really thought he answered their question, but he didn't even touch the surface. And I thought, God, we are so blessed.
Amen.
And we have so much. I, you know, honestly, I think we had too much. Because we're so spoiled. You know, a rich kid, he don't even know how to buy lunch in the lunch line. He's just used to him going to sit at the table and the butler bringing it over to him if he eats in the same room as the other kids. It's just, you almost don't look up to see where your bread come from. Church, let's not get there.
Amen.
Let's not get so spoiled and so complacent. Be humble. Put it in action in your life. And let God use you to protect his tree of life.
Amen.
Because as you see from Genesis all the way through the Bible, and I didn't stop everywhere, but all the way through that Bible, it talked about that tree of life, and it talked about how the cherubims protected it. And every type, every shadow, when you look at the Old Testament, you see it. When you look at the New Testament church that was being built, you see it.
Yeah.
When you see how the eagle age is on us, we had a prophet of the hour that allowed us to see more than any other age.
Amen.
Open seals, mysteries revealed, sitting here with the perfect revelation.
Amen.
My goodness, what couldn't God ask of us?
Right.
What could he not ask of us that we wouldn't do? to protect that tree of life that he's given us. Absolutely nothing. It's cheap at any cost. We're blessed, but it requires something from you. It requires all from you. Whatever he wants, give it to him. Let him have it. He's worth it. He's done all the rest of it.
Amen.
The last little 2 seconds. That's all we got here. Our last little 2 seconds.
Amen.
You said, but I need this. I need that. This is my life. I need to do it. You can't tell me what to do. And last little 2 seconds. Is all we've got left. Let us protect that tree.
Amen.
Let us give it our all. And let us do what everybody else has done since the beginning of time.
Amen.
Garden that tree alive.
Yes.
It's wound up in your hands. Brother Branham asked, what are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ? He's on your hands now. Guard it. Protect it. This is our life. And it's actually the best thing that's ever happened to us. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God chose you. You could be at the Nazarene church down the street. All it would take is a little twist of fate. And you'd have been sitting in that Nazarene church like I was. But it's by the grace of God that he's given you this.
Yes.
And now it's yours to do. Luther did his job. They did it down through the ages. And the eagle age is the shortest age of all. The shortest manifestation of the cherubims of all of them. He says, but it's been 60 years. That's nothing. It's still nothing. God help us to protect that tree of life. God help us to guard that tree of life, which is why we are, that's why he chose you.
Yes.
That is why he chose you. You say, well, God chose me to get married. No, he didn't. You can have a wife or not. You can have a husband or not. You can have kids or not. You can have a good job or you can have a bad job or you can be unemployed. God chose you for this.
Amen.
So, guarding that tree of life has fallen into our hands. It's our responsibility. God help us to take it serious.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message this morning. How we can see that tree of life as it walked down through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament until it walked itself right into our lives. And Lord, we see clearly how you've used those cherubims down through the ages to protect that word. And Lord, the word still needs protecting. It's in our hands now. It's our job. And we're at a place in time and history that they're depending on us. They without us cannot be made perfect. But with us, Lord, we can all get through this thing and go home together. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you for this eagle age. Thank you for that cherubim, that anointing that's on us in this hour. Help us to press and push like never before, knowing that it's just a short little walk. Not much left at all. And we can do this. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for being with us and showing us this way. Thank you because the eagle out of all the beast, I think it's the best of the beast.
Yes.
Because it sees farther, understands everything. Thank you for your truth. I ask you to help us. Help us to stand strong, Lord. Help us to put our shoulder to the wheel and push this thing on in for the hours at hand. Thank you for it all, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. guarding for that tree of life, making sure that we're doing our, and we will do our part. I'm not saying we won't. I'm just saying we need to. We need to understand it so that we'll know what we're going to do. And when you know your job, that's the only time that you can do it. We are standing on holy ground. That's what we're standing on. And don't forget, no services here tonight. We'll be down on Main Street, the main house, and we'll be there at 6 o'clock. Come back expecting Wednesday night. I had a chance last night. They had a surprise birthday party for Don Parnell. I won't tell you his age. But Patty asked me if I'd stop by, and Jeremiah and I stopped by there yesterday. Got to see Brother Jamie Wesley and Sister Pam from Columbus. I was good to see them. And just keep them in your prayers. And I told them, I said, come see us. You know, come visit us. We'll be glad to have you here. Amen. We don't have nothing to do till the rapture but preach the word of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's protect what He has given us. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that on holy ground. You're dismissed.